The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning, too. It is A Numbers Game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and, of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. What's happening?
Not much, man. How you doing?
Doing very well. You got the madness? You got the March mania?
Oh, I got the fever.
The fever.
Yeah, I love the, we try to avoid copyright stuff and just manias everywhere now. Like, everything's March mania.
Mayhem. Does Brent Musburger get the credit for saying March Madness first? I don't think he was first, but he was the one who popularized it.
Great question.
Yeah. VSiN founder Brent Musburger, the legend that he is. We have a great show. Joe Pita will join us here momentarily. It is so great to have Joe Pita back betting stuff.
Yeah.
We will talk National League Baseball with him. It was kind of American League heavy last time. So Pita will be here to talk National League with us. He's got some college basketball thoughts as well. How to best bet stuff these days. He has an angle on that. Will Hill, after his wonderful Megapod performance yesterday. By the way, can I just say the Megapod? The Beating the Book podcast Megapod. It is our most downloaded episode of the calendar year. Our March Madness one. Todd Wishnev, Will Hill. We go bracket by bracket, ATS, and straight up. So in other words, which team advances in your bracket? Is there a bet, ATS? And it never fails, the Megapod does, in terms of producing some surprising picks for down the road. So Will has three really surprising Elite Eight picks. Todd has three really surprising Elite Eight picks. Will even has a surprising Final Four pick. Maybe we'll get into that when he shows up on the show today. Drew Dinsick will join us. He's got some NCAA stuff as well, Drew does, huh? Is that correct? Is that what I'm saying?
I think a little bit. I don't know how heavy he's got.
All right, so he's NBA heavy as typical. We'll see if he's betting anything in Miami and tennis as well. The second half of the Sunshine Double on the tennis tour. They went from Indian Wells to Miami. Slow hards to fast hards. And then Jason Lisk will join us, our old friend from Team Rankings, also from Pool Genius, where he also works, for some bracket strategery. We look forward to that as well. I don't know if he'll do as well as we did yesterday with bracket strategy. We kind of nailed it.
Nailed it. Yeah, no, looking forward to talking to Jason about that. Rick Gaiman going to join the show tomorrow, too, to do a little bit of that as well. He always does it. Puts together a great video, great stuff every year for Survivor, Bracket, just all the kind of game theory stuff you need to know when you're playing these things.
Can we talk about, again, Survivor? So I entered my annual Survivor thing. I think Unabated, for those who are like interested in a Survivor poll,
I think
Unabated is doing one this
year.
Our friends Captain Jack, Rufus, Tom Viola, all those guys doing it over there. Old Tommy Viola. I think they're doing a Survivor, but I just want to, if I have one cause, one thing that I can get across daily here that I'm just going to beat the dead horse on is Survivor is, again, the ultimate thing for the NCAA because it's multidimensional, right? It's not just linear like NFL Survivor is where you can't pick the same team twice and it's 20 weeks when you have the circa quirks of Thanksgiving and Christmas. But the brilliance of Survivor in the NCAAs is that it's a bracket. And so the bracket causes a multi-level layer of handicapping. So you have to not only you can lose, in other words, getting knocked out the traditional way. Oh, my team didn't survive on this entry, so this entry is gone. Or you can get knocked out because you just ran out of teams. Right? You never run out of teams in the NFL.
Right.
You're always looking to avoid underdogs. In the NCAA Survivor form, you are no doubt going to have to pick underdogs at some point, and you have to maneuver it in a way that you're constantly trying to anticipate not only what others are doing, but also that you have something alive bracket by bracket or round by round. So, again, shout out to our Unabated folks who are doing a Survivor pool. I will give you my Survivor, my gem Survivor little note when we talk to Jason Lisk a little later, which I don't know if anybody else talks about with Survivor. We here at VSiN are doing a couple things that you need to know. We don't usually start the show by promoting stuff, but we're doing so much right now that I think it needs to be promoted, which is that Adam Burke, first of all, with our college basketball betting guide, the March Madness betting guide, is now available and out there, and it is... I mean, we always say this about Burke's stuff, that it's always great, right? But, you know, his baseball thing might be his bread and butter, But this thing is unbelievable. March Mania betting guide, pro edition. For it's you know, you can, it's part of the $9.99 first 30 days Visa Pro subscription. The guide includes profiles of every single NCAA tournament team, trends for every round, strategies for brackets and futures. It's all at VSiN.com/subscribe. So the March Mania betting guide is out. Pro edition.
It's awesome. I got a lot to get to today, Gil. We got golf. We got long shots coming up later, but this is going to need to be a sit down and take a couple hours with this beast, because it is
the beast.
We talk about it often. You say it best, but the guides that we do for the sports, I think it's some of the best things.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Do in VSiN. And it's you're right. With Adam Burke, baseball, and then college basketball right behind it are maybe two of the best.
I do think of this, like when I was like 20 years ago, we died for something like this.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, oh my God, a betting guide? Are you kidding me? Now VSiN just throws them out. Adam and crew, Zach Cohen and Matt Humans, and everybody works on them so hard. Wes Reynolds, just throw them out every sports season.
I like to be like, just throw them out. It doesn't take a bunch of time to put it together at all.
Just throw them out.
Pretty sure poor Adam passed out at his desk the other night.
Well, that's how I meant it. They throw them out 4 or 5 times a year. It's unbelievable what they do. Okay, and we have our own bracket challenge. Have you entered this yet?
I have not yet.
I have registered. I have not put in my picks. But VSiN has its bracket challenge. Now, VSiN did a bracket challenge when VSiN first started. Were you here when we did the...
I was not here for year one.
Okay, so James Salinas won it that year. James Salinas, who won the super contest 1 year, he just, you know, messed around and was like, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and win this bracket challenge too at VSiN.
I love Salinas. I'm sitting over here laughing, though. Cause you remember that random day at the D? He just came walking up.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, hey, James, I haven't seen you in 2 years.
He looks great, by the way. He's just healthy, retired. He doesn't care. March bracket challenge. This is the VSiN March Bracket Challenge. This is available to enter now. It's at VSiN.com/contest. Registration is open. It's $5,000 in prize money. First prize is $3,000.
I'm taking it all.
Second, well, you're not eligible.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Second place is $1,500. Third place is $500. And this is unlike your typical brackets or your survivor pools, which are just, hey, teams to advance. This is against the spread and totals, as is our want here at VSiN. By the way, want is a strange word, isn't it? Yeah. Want.
Totals, too, huh? I did not catch that.
Oh, yeah, you could do sides or totals.
I just retweeted it as well. I know if you're watching at home, you can see VSiN.com/contest. I did just retweet the link as well, so you can go to my Twitter and catch it there. At Kelly Bidley.
Format here is you get 20. You have to pick 20 sides or totals first round, 10 second round, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Love it.
20, 10, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Love it.
And if you're on top at the end of that, you're the winner. That's how it goes. And a whole bunch of VSiN folks, VSiN hosts, are going to be in this. We can't win the money, but you also can say, I crushed you, Gil Alexander.
That's right.
You can say that.
Or we can keep you from winning money, possibly.
No,
no, because we'd
not
all just
true.
Get removed from the leaderboard.
No, because if you finished first and listener X finished second, you're not keeping
they
them
just
from
move
the money.
Up, yeah.
That's right. So,
or if Gil finishes fourth and someone's fifth.
Don't try to mess this up, Gil. You're trying to mess up the challenge. Don't do that.
That's what I do.
That's what I do.
That's what I do.
Anyway, so all that is available. And this is the beauty of this week, right? Because it's we can all sort of back away a little bit from the traditional sports bets and do these fun things, whether it's bracket challenge, whether it's your traditional bracket pool, whether it's Survivor, any of those things. By the way, some people get into Calcuttas. We'll talk to Jason Liske about it a little later. Tennis is back, though. I mentioned this. It is the second half of the Sunshine Double. This is where the hard court season will ultimately now give way to clay after this. This is the last hard court tournament in earnest here. Again, Indian Wells for me was not good. Disaster. Keisterization, as I called it, which kind of came out of the blue. New surface. Didn't work out. This is back to fast. I've got two plays. The ladies begin today. I've got two plays. Olga Danilovich at -115 versus Haley Baptiste. And I'm on Jessica Buzas Monero at +119 versus Lucia Bronzetti. I think both of these prices are a little better than they are now, but not so much better that you can't play them. Danilovich and Buzas Monero, the picks tonight, today in Miami, where it used to be in lovely Key Biscayne, but now is in the parking lot of the Hard Rock, which is the ambiance of exactly what you'd think, a parking lot of a stadium.
So bad.
You can hear the cars honking their horns on the freeways right behind the courts.
They got to do something about that. Like, really got to do something about it. I mean, South Florida is way too gorgeous of an area for you to stick a tournament there.
Well, I'll tell you what might happen. They might, it might not be in Miami moving forward. Somebody's going to buy that thing, I think. Anyway, I made one future play in it. Actually, two, but with the same person. Naomi Osaka, who was terrible in the first round at Indian Wells. I mean, she was awful. She called it, like, one of the worst matches she's ever played. And so you go with the quarters here in this tournament, and quarter two is weak, and she's in it. And I'm just saying, if she plays like her numbers indicate that she should be playing, and she's not hurt, those are two big ifs, but 66-1 to win it and 7-1 to win her quarter. I played both of those in her quarter. That's a Coco Gauff quarter, and Coco's not been playing great. But other than that,
12-1 at DraftKings.
Oh, there you go. 12-1 to win her quarter?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Is that right? 12-1 to win her quarter. Oh, grab that. On Osaka, because if things break your way, 12-1 is a nice juicy price on that.
I might check that that other shop too. That was a little long on Indian Wells.
That's right.
The other week.
Well, except that they only take once the number gets long, they're like, we'll take your $64 or whatever it is. Anyway, so those are the only two plays in Miami that I made in the futures, and those are the first two plays as we look to bounce back from that horrible tournament here in Miami for the ladies' side. Men start tomorrow. So tennis picks will sort of blossom starting tomorrow, but that's where we are now.
So what, the couple days of qualies, and then we're getting started?
Well, yeah, women start today.
Okay.
With about, I don't know, like 18 matches or something like that. Don't hold me to that. And then the men start qualies, men today. As far as I could tell last night anyway. Maybe I'm wrong, maybe they threw them out and I missed something, but that's where we are now. Two plays on the ladies' side, and then Osaka to win the quarter and the tourney. On the WTA side, Joe Pita next, right here on The Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Take your betting to the next level with First Bet. Whether it's Santa Anita, Gulfstream Park, or the road to the Kentucky Derby and Preakness, First Bet puts the action at your fingertips. Sign up now, firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com, and use promo code VSID200. To score a 20% rebate on all your wagers for the first 60 days, up to $200. Don't miss out. Bet smarter today at firstbet.com. We got a whole bunch of taking betting to another level and betting smarter. You notice that?
Yeah, betting smarter. That is right. That's in a lot of them.
It's nice of me to notice. Nice of me to point it out on air. We get tweets at Beatty the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. This is from Harold Irving.
What's up, Harold?
He goes, USA Today always published the numbers of the great Jeff Sagrin, giving us early analytics. Yes, USA Today did. Todd Bubba Horwitz, our friend. Rudy Martsky. That was his name.
Yeah.
Rudy Martsky was the media guy. Joe Pita is great. Yes, he is. Jason Zenner. Oh, my God. I was just telling my wife about the USA Today paper on the Monday after Selection Sunday, along with each team's capsule. It had a full-size printout of the bracket. Yes, it did. Was so good. This is like, we're talking like early 80s now. Or the entire 1980s, kind of, I believe. Maybe even bled into the 90s. Bill Hooker, Osaka, 14-1, Q2 at Bet365. Bet365 always with the better number. Just Call Me Skip. USA Today's March Madness capsules was the best. They had it online until 3 years ago. I do a fantasy draft for March Madness. Their capsule was a critical part of my preparation. So much harder now. There you go. Okay. A lot of USA Today love from folks. Always appreciate it. This gentleman is the host of his own podcast called the Shoulda Bet More podcast. He's also part of the Bear Bets Empire, Chris Felica's empire over there at Fox Sports with all their podcasts. And of course, he's one of the stars of the Megapod during the football season and the March Madness version. He was kind enough to he's part of it, join me and Todd Wishnev yesterday. We were in studio. Will was remote to do our annual March Madness podcast. He called FAU in the Final Four famously 2 years ago. He's looking to catch that high once again, chasing that high. It's Will Hill, everybody, at not the Will Hill on Twitter, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. What's happening, man?
Gilly, what's going on? I'm so excited. Best time of the year. I love it. You mentioned Rudy Martsky. I think he just, I used to love reading his stuff. I think he just passed a couple months ago, right around the holidays. Him and John Feinstein, a couple of legends that have left us recently.
Yeah, I thought, you know, it's funny. You said Rudy Martsky did die recently. I thought it was a long time ago. I don't know why. Yeah. And then John Feinstein, obviously a great, you know, Washington Post sports section when I grew up, it was Kornheiser, Wilbon, Tom Boswell in baseball, Andrew Beyer in horse racing, John Feinstein and like, and who was the guy, Norman Chad, who now does poker, or used to do media stuff. Like, what a newspaper to grow up on. Feinstein, part of that. It was awesome.
Is Norman Chad still doing poker stuff?
Oh, I don't know. Is he?
I don't know, man. If he has, he's been doing it for like 25 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know him from the sports reporters. It used to be him, Lupica, Dick Schaap, Mitch Albom, Bob Ryan. It was good. It was like a Sunday morning. They just argue about sports for a half hour. I felt like I was the only one watching it, but I guess it was more popular than I realized.
John Saunders was on there, I think, as well. Yes. He used to do local sports in Baltimore, which we used to pick up on our TVs as well. All right, March Madness. Yesterday we did the Megapod. It was not disappointing at all. A lot of first round upsets. Well, a handful of first round upsets. But then we don't just do the Final Four on the Megapod. We pick our Elite Eight and our Final Four, and obviously we move on from there. You had some big surprises. Do you want to give a couple of those at least?
Sure. And you seemed very disappointed. You started to slouch a little as we got towards the end of it. Not that many upsets. Then we got some upsets. You started to sit up straight. You got a little more life into you. A couple of those outraged Todd. Todd, I have Illinois going to the Elite Eight. Todd was not happy about that. A lot of button talk, buttoned up, buttoned down. They don't have any buttons, whatever his theory was. But Illinois in the Elite Eight, to me, they're just they're a team with a lot of talent that's had a lot go wrong this year. It wasn't that long ago, middle of the season, they were fifth or sixth favorite to win the whole thing. And they just, like, they've had illnesses and injuries. They've had bad shooting from three-point range, and their opponents have hit a lot of three-pointers. They had a good, like, month stretch where kind of everything went wrong, and you're wondering if maybe they're going to play themselves out of the bubble. They've come out of that a little bit. They've got a pro. They've got a European big that's, an NBA player that's a lottery pick. I had Ian Eagle on my podcast last week, and I asked him, do you have a sleeper for the tournament? And before I could almost finish the question, he said definitively Illinois. He's seen him in person a bunch of times, super talented. So I've got Illinois going to the Elite Eight. I've got St. Mary's going to the Elite Eight. That'll be a fascinating matchup if they can get to Alabama in round two, just the contrast of styles. But the math is so stacked in their favor because they get so many extra possessions, offensive rebounding, cleaning up the glass, and defensive rebounding, forcing turnovers, not turning over. So I have St. Mary's making a run. And then my one shocker, look, I've got 3-1s in the Final Four, but I also have UC San Diego. I just think, and you're going to hear a lot of this week, oh, it's too trendy. They're too trendy. They can't beat Michigan. Everyone's picking them. Maybe. Look, they're either going to win or they're going to lose. It's not going to – who's picking them, who's not picking them, to me, has nothing to do with it. They turn you over a lot, and Michigan turns it over a lot. So I think that's a good matchup for them. Plus, Michigan, 3 games in 3 days. Now they're playing in Colorado in altitude. And on the other side of that bracket, if they make it to round two, I'm not positive A&M beats Yale. I took Yale in our bracket. Yale's a really solid team. A&M can't shoot. I think that'll be a close, low-scoring game. Yale has had a habit of getting in this tournament and making some noise. They beat Baylor their first appearance in 2016. They beat Auburn last year. That's a really good coach. So I got – and if those things happen, you know what? You get to the second weekend, and then who knows? Maybe Auburn gets picked off in round two or whatever against Louisville or Creighton. So – UC San Diego to the Final Four is my real stunner there.
UC San Diego, the Tritons, to get to the Final Four. As you said, Will, it become too trendy to say that it's a trendy pick?
Yes.
Or has it become too trendy to say that it's too trendy, that it's a trendy pick? It's a whole thing. It's a whole Princess Bride thing.
Yes. And by the way, I remember 2 years ago, everyone loved Furman over Virginia. You know what? Furman beat him. Now, they stole the game late, but Furman's the one. Last year, James Madison over Wisconsin was another one. It's like, oh, man, everyone's got James Madison. You know how that goes. James Madison won. I remember doing the Megapod last year. We all picked UConn to win. UConn won. So you could twist yourself into a pretzel mentally sometimes with this stuff. Oh, everyone's picking it, so it's not going to happen. Our brain sort of parses out when that works out in our favor and when it doesn't. And, I don't know. I think that's just a dangerous way to pick these games.
Which were the first round lines that when they came out, you're like, this is wrong. Got to bet this.
That's a good question. I thought that Grand Canyon was getting too much at 11.5. That's moved. I think that moved to like 9.5 or 9. Now it's kind of in the middle at 10.5.
Yep.
I just think I worry they play too fast to pull an upset. We were talking about it yesterday. Upsets happen in the 50s and 60s. They generally don't happen in the 70s or 80s, but they get to the foul line a lot. They are right near the top of the board here in terms of in the country getting to the foul line. And Maryland, for all of their strengths, they are very thin. They don't have a lot of depth. So if you start getting some of those guys in foul trouble, that could be trouble. So I do like Grand Canyon to cover. As someone who lives in Connecticut and has watched UConn a lot, I have a hard time laying 4.5 with UConn against anybody. I think that's a lot of bias It's basically a tax on the brand, the uniform, on Hurley. And it's one of those games where if you pick against UConn, you're going to feel like an idiot and vice versa, because everyone thinks, oh, it's the calendar's going to flip to March. Hurley's going to turn it on. UConn's going to turn it on. They've got some real, real problems defensively. They foul a lot. They don't turn you over. Now, I think they've got a decent matchup offensively for Oklahoma, so maybe you look towards an over here. I think this is a toss-up game. Remember, Oklahoma was undefeated, I think 13-0 in non-conference. So to me, you're paying a major tax here on the UConn brand, the UConn uniform.
I don't want to neglect the games before March Madness. So obviously there's first four tonight. You have a thought on one of those, I know at least. And then there's the other tournaments, right? Which from a betting standpoint, there have been some truisms through the years. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, I know Fez is big on this. The NIT overs, just because it's fast, you know, fast, happy, fun times where we're not in. Who cares? Especially the bubble teams that thought they could get in. Now they're in the NIT. All right, we don't really care. We'll shoot early in the shot clock. We're not going to play the most intense defense. So I know Fez likes those NIT overs. I've done pretty well. If you could pick out some of these teams that are big underdogs, you see a lot of upsets. It's almost like bowl games in college football, where who's going to be motivated, who isn't. You can get some of these dogs at 2-3-1 on the money line. Some of these, you're going to get some upsets, because this is not, you know, these are not regular season games or conference games, especially this early in the tournament. Motivation can be a little shaky. So I think underdogs and overs are an interesting way to attack the NIT games. And I do like San Diego State quite a bit tonight. I just think that there's a rest disadvantage. First of all, San Diego State went out early in the Mountain West. This is their second game in 10 days. Meanwhile, this is North Carolina's fourth game in 6 days. I just think San Diego State can slow them down. And if you can keep Carolina out of transition and make them play a half-court offense, it's a shaky team. I know San Diego State, they're not great on offense, so maybe you look at a first half under. But I like San Diego State here. I think Dutcher versus Hubert Davis, who, by the way, once played pickup basketball with Todd Wishnev. I'm not sure if you heard about that.
Yeah.
I think that's a good coaching advantage for San Diego State.
Yeah. Y'all think I tell the same stories a lot. Man, you should hang out with Wishnev sometimes. Here you go, Carolina. And then tomorrow night, you like Xavier. It's 3 now, though, against Texas.
Three, I'd look towards a cheap money line. And actually, digging into this matchup more, the other game, the American Mount St. Mary's, to me, that's an under, a first half under. American is, I think, the fourth slowest team in the country, and both teams are just dreadful on offense. So that could be like, you know, 25-23 at the end of the first half.
The way the story goes, Wishnev didn't recognize that it was Hubert Davis, and Wishnev happened to be wearing Carolina shorts, and he kept demanding the ball underneath. And so Hubert Davis was like, okay, Carolina, here you go.
That's great.
Thank you, Will. Appreciate it.
Hey, guys. Thanks.
Drew Dinsick with some basketball NBA style next.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. Gil Alexander to my left, my little buddy Kelly Midland, losing weight like it's going out of style. Yeah. What is it, going out of business? Is that the expression?
Going out of business, yeah.
Or going out of style.
Either one.
How are you doing? You losing more? Just keeps going?
Yeah.
Oh, good for
you. It's getting tougher and tougher, but, you know, trying to grind away.
Good for you. Jason Lisk from Team Rankings and Pool Genius going to be here a little later to talk strategery, bracket strategy and stuff, Survivor, that kind of thing. Going to find out what he likes playing best. What do you like playing best, Jason Lisk, of all these? Drew Dinsick standing by as well. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Liam Friend, thanks for having Joe Pita back. I remember the year Joe Pita was on a numbers game and correctly predicted every Major League Baseball playoff series, including the one-game wild cards. Yes, he had a sweep of a postseason. Money Capper Letty, can you delay Will's sentence for saying at altitude until after the tourney? The people need him. Yes, I don't let people get away with that on the Megapod. Chance Copperpot, finally watched We Beat the Dream Team. It was phenomenal. I forget who suggested it on a numbers game, but thank you. That was Will who suggested it.
Yeah, it was Will.
You guys see the Last Week Tonight thing yet? No, apparently, what's my man's name on Last Week Tonight?
John Oliver. I watched it yesterday. Thank you, Chance Copperpot, for pointing it out. I thought it was a pretty well-done piece. I think it was...
You explain to folks what it is.
I mean, in-depth story, 30-minute-long story, just on sports betting, how it's evolved in the United States, the challenges that both the companies and consumers are running into. And then, yeah, I mean, most heavily addressed, I would say, is some of the addiction problems and practices and stuff by some of the sports books and companies. So
last week tonight, one of the most exhaustively researched shows on television.
It's great. Yeah. You and I were talking about it yesterday. It's one of those shows that, like, when it first started, I watched all the time, never missed an episode. And then now it's been on a while, and you just kind of forget when it's on.
Well, it's a bit of a commitment. Like, you can't. You have it's sort of you have to be engaged.
Yeah, I mean, in this specific, this was a 30-minute long piece they did on sports betting.
Last night, NBA, real quick, Warriors lose only their third game since Jimmy Butler has arrived, only their second game since he was actually in the lineup. They fall to 14-3 since the Jimmy Butler trade. They lose to the Nuggets, who didn't have Jokic, Jamal, or Brown in their lineup.
Just a great example. We've talked about this with Carl Sack yesterday, Gil. Terrible bet. Gets home.
Terrible bet.
Just happens. Terrible bet. We talked about that process of betting the Nuggets when all those guys were questionable.
Steph looks tired, by the way. He looks tired.
And Steve Kerr literally said that. Yeah,
he looks tired.
Let's go Bucks.
Then the Rockets come back. Did you see the Rockets come back yesterday?
I was out at dinner. You texted me about this morning. I didn't realize it was that crazy. I saw it went to overtime.
They were trailing the Sixers by 25 in the third quarter. They caught up by the end of the quarter. Then they fell back down double digits, back down 10 points, I think it was. They were down 8 in the last minute, tied it, never led once in regulation, won it in overtime.
Which is just shocking because the 76ers all season long have just been putting teams away once they get up on top of them, okay?
And then the other thing, I don't know, did you see this at the Knicks Heat game yesterday? Tracy Morgan had a medical emergency?
No, you told me that this morning. I saw it on Twitter. I don't know, that's kind of concerning.
Oh my God, these pictures of him. Like, mid-vomit.
Yeah.
Vomiting, nosebleed. Hope everything's okay with him. Drew Dinsick, who likes himself some NBA and some tennis, joins us right now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at @whale_capper, the host of both the Deep Dive and Bet the Edge podcast at NBC Sports, who now has has another thing that we want to talk about as well. What are you doing every morning now, Drew?
We're doing the Deep Dive Daily. Basically just shooting it with Andy for 15, 20 minutes in the morning. It's kind of a good opportunity. You mentioned, I like the NBA. Quality hasn't been great lately. Some of the experiences where, you bet the Timberwolves -4, they close -10.5, and then they can't stop Obi Toppin. It tests your patience with the association. And you know what? It's nice. It's nice having a little daily opportunity to vent about when we are in the stupidest time of the year for one of the stupider seasons that I can remember for the association. It's nice to vent a little bit. And that was kind of a nice opportunity for me today.
What was it specifically last night that got your goat?
The Warriors, similarly, like getting six and a half points of CLV and not feeling good about it as the game tips, and then immediately just being like annoyed by everything that you're seeing is pretty tough. That happened to me twice yesterday. Also, betting on a team when you don't really like them that much and you're disappointed with their effort recently, and they give you a good first half effort like the Miami Heat do, and then they come out for the third quarter and they don't play and they lose 41-15. Those types of swings are brutal.
Let me interrupt for 1 second. Do we have that Miami Heat stat from the fourth quarter?
Just from what I can remember, Tim Bontemps saying on the Hoop Collective the other day, and it's their net rating. Like, I'll pull it up. But Drew, have you seen this at all? Their fourth quarter net rating, and it's like -28 or some absurd number for what they're doing in the fourth quarter. It's wild. So I know there's been a lot of people betting them like first half, doing the whole one team first half, the other team full game.
Like the White Sox bet.
Yeah, and it's been working out. Yeah.
If this was blind resume season and you put up a blind resume of the Heat with their fourth quarter numbers, you know what I would say? They're magnificent job tanking. What in the world is going on? Like, you almost have to try to be playing this poorly at late in games as they are. It's absolutely wild. And the Heat, they're tacking hard for the 9-10 play-in. and out of the playoff mix entirely, which, okay, good luck. And yeah, the rest of the NBA is wild too, because like, with the closing lines yesterday, especially in the West, you're like, okay, well, like, here we go. Like, seeds 2 through 7 in the West, as of yesterday, before the game started, were only separated by about 1.5 games, which is unbelievable. Like, it makes pricing futures virtually impossible, because everybody in the West has like specific matchup problems with some opponents, right? Like, if the Nuggets draw the Timberwolves, like, look out, like, Nuggets are in trouble. If the Nuggets draw the Warriors, they're probably fine. if the Nuggets draw the Lakers, they're probably fine. If the Lakers draw, the Warriors, they're probably fine, right? Right? Like, if the Lakers draw the Grizzlies, they might be fine, right? Like, there's a bunch of like specific head to heads where you're feeling relative high confidence based on just sort of matchup particularities. And we have no idea how this is going to shake out right now. Like, I'm holding an uncomfortably large bet on the Oklahoma City Thunder to win the West. And like, you wake up one day and you're like, oh man, like, their half of the draw could be Grizzlies, Rockets, Kings. Like, yes, like, heck yes. Like, 2, 3, 6, and 7 could be all the teams I don't really want to play. Like, you're only gonna have to play one of those. Like, that's awesome. And then you wake up the next day and you're like, oh great, like, we're gonna get the Warriors in the 1-8. Like, oh come on, like, this can't be happening. And then, yeah, so like, there's a path where they go Warriors in the 8th seed, Timberwolves in the four, the winner of the 4-5, and then Nuggets as the, the winner of the 2 seed. And like, that prices out still as slight edge for me over current West. That's like the worst possible, and that's a slight edge for me over the West futures price right now. But then the other world, where they play Kings, Grizzlies, Lakers or something like that, like, that's, they should be like -300.
What's the what are the potential? And this, I'll say, for the whole NBA, but it feels like it's more of a Western Conference question, sort of based on what you just said. What are the series matchups that you would anticipate, that you would look most forward to, as being completely mispriced by the market, where you were like, this is so exploit, I can exploit the heck out of this?
Timberwolves Lakers would be a great one.
Because the market will love the Lakers, but you won't.
Yeah. That, if the Lakers Timberwolves is 4-5, I'm going to be pretty stoked, especially if the Timberwolves are the 4. I don't know if that's very likely, but that would be pretty cool. The one I'm least looking forward to is easier. Grizzlies Lakers. I do not want to see this series again. No way, no how. My numbers are going to say bet the Grizzlies, even as unimpressive as they've been in the absence of JJJ. The Grizzlies are a more complete, better team than the Lakers, but the Lakers are going to be favored in that series, I would guess. And probably going to have to go to war with the Grizzlies and feel very uncomfortable about it, as Ja Morant goes flying up to the rim in Game 1 and breaks his wrist again. But the Warriors Nuggets is a fun one, because kind of based on last night, when it was expected, at least, that Jokic was going to play, the market price was basically telling you that the Warriors might be pretty compellingly priced similarly to the Nuggets in that series. And I don't know, man, like, the Warriors do not have an answer for a lot of what the Nuggets like to do. And I don't know how many more matchups we need to see between those two teams to kind of just say, well, this is just, they don't have it. Like, they don't have it solved. So I think that's an interesting one where I would probably lean favorite Nuggets if they draw the Warriors in the 3-6.
I'm going to give you my most concerning Western Conference situations, as I heavily staked on the Thunder with you, Drew, so we'll be riding that. I'm terrified of the Thunder seeing Luka Doncic just at any point, because like, there's still lingering lingering stuff from last year with that. And then I'm really looking forward to Jimmy Butler costing me a lot of money again.
Oh yeah, this postseason.
It will happen.
I'm just keeping my mouth shut about that.
Yeah, it'll probably happen, Gil, because I think I'm aligned with Drew on most of those matchups.
Yeah, we need Nuggets to take care of the Warriors in the 3-6. To take care of Luka in the 2-3, and then the Thunder have the Nuggets dead to rights.
If Jimmy Butler does this to you specifically, but a lot of NBA hardos again, I will have much to say.
Oh, man.
Because that'll play into my theory that you're too close to the sun watching the entire regular season. Yeah. More with Drew. Let's see if he's got some Miami Open thoughts and beyond. Is he better in college basketball?